I'm not too surprised. Pope Benedict writes in a very lucid way, very accessible way. Though he's a top-flight scholar, his writing is very accessible and even poetic at times. So I'm not too surprised that people are responding to it.
And what kind of feedback have you received from other people you know you've come into contact with in the U.S. who have read his book?
The feedback I've heard has been very positive. You know, scholars read the book because they know Joseph Ratzinger is an important theologian. But I think average people read it because they find it very inspiring. And it's really written in the manner of a homily, I would say. And so it's like a good homily that lifts you up, inspires you, informs you. And that's the feedback I've been hearing from people, is that they find it very accessible and uplifting spiritually.
So you're saying there's a lot of ordinary men and women out there reading it, not just the theologians, not mm-hmm. just the Catholic clergy and the people who you'd expect to be reading it.
Absolutely. And also people outside the Catholic Church. I think any Christian finds this book rather compelling. I've heard a number of Protestant scholars who say it's one of the best books on Jesus in the past 50 years. And so for a non-Catholic to say that, that's rather impressive. But it doesn't surprise me, given the kind of lyrical quality of the book.
And what about non-believers? Are many of them reading it? And if so, what has it got for them? What challenge does it give them?
I don't know. I mean, I haven't heard directly about atheists or non-believers reading it. But again, it wouldn't surprise me, because the gospel has its own convincing power. I think when you lay it out the way Pope Benedict does, even for someone who's outside the church, outside the faith, there's something compelling about it. So that wouldn't surprise me if they find it interesting, but I've not heard directly if they're responding to it.
Have you heard of any particular remarks that people have said, people who've read it, that are really stuck in your mind, or some particularly interesting reviews about it that you thought, oh, yes, that's true?
Yeah, well, the one that I just mentioned about the Protestant scholar saying it's the best book on Jesus in the past 50 years, that really stayed in my mind.
And why did he think it was the best? What were the reasons he was giving for that?
I think it was because it is so biblical and theological. So a Protestant will respond, of course, to the biblical quality of it, that he's not leaping away from the scriptural text, spending a lot of time with it, and he's bringing to bear all of his theological training. I think that combination he found especially compelling.
Now, you wrote a review about the book. What, in your mind, were the fresh spiritual perspectives that Pope Benedict brings to this book, and of course the fresh theological perspectives?
I'll take the second one first. I think Pope Benedict has been impatient with a way of approaching the Bible we've used for the past maybe 50 years, called the historical critical method. The purpose of that method is simply to uncover the intention of the authors of the scripture, to go back to that time to find out what they were intending to say to their audiences. Now, nothing in the world wrong with that, but here's the danger with it if you stress it too much. It can lock the Bible in the past. So if all we're doing is recovering what was in the minds of Isaiah or of Matthew or Mark, we can lock the gospel or the Old Testament back in that period. Pope Benedict reads it in the manner of the church fathers. Think of Augustine or Origen or John Chrysostom or even Thomas Aquinas. They're trying to read the Bible in a way that makes it very vibrant and relevant to our own time, because they read it in a spiritual way. So it did address the people of that time, but it also addresses us now and our deep spiritual concerns. Pope Benedict knows how to do that. I think that's the power of what he's done.
What, for you, were your favorite segments or the most fascinating segments, and why?
To me, it was his way of recovering the power of the temple. A lot of scholars are doing that right now, and Pope Benedict is one of them. You can't really understand Jesus without understanding the very rich Old Testament background, but especially around the temple, the place where sacrifice was made. So Pope Benedict reads the cross of Jesus as a great sacrifice that puts an end to the temple sacrifices and now lifts them up to a new level. I found the way he recovered the Old Testament theology of the temple and then showed how the cross of Jesus puts that to an end, if you want, or brings it to fulfillment. That, to me, was the most fascinating part of the book.
What are some of the most searching questions the Pope is asking in his book? And does he provide the answers, or does he just leave it as a question for the reader?
No, I think Pope Benedict sees Jesus Christ as the answer to the question in the human heart, the question of human life. What's it about? What's joy? What gives me satisfaction? That's the question everyone has, believer, non-believer, anybody. And he's convinced the Gospels say Jesus Christ is that answer, because he's the answer of the divine love. What we want, finally, is the divine life, which is love. Jesus is the embodiment of that, and we see it most fully in the cross and the resurrection. And so that's the gospel. It's the essential thing, but it's the answer to the question in every single human heart. Now, he learned that from his master, St. Augustine. Pope Benedict is very Augustinian, and Augustine famously said, "Lord, our hearts are restless till they rest in thee." That, I think, is the central question that Benedict both asks and answers.
Now, this book is, of course, about Holy Week, and Holy Week begins in a few days from now. What advice would you give to anybody embarking upon reading the Pope's book during this particular period leading up to Easter?
Yeah, I think you're right. It's a very good book to read during Holy Week because it's a liturgical book. It follows the liturgical pattern. Another great master for Pope Benedict is Hans Urs von Balthasar, the Swiss theologian who died in 1988. And his whole theology is a theology of the Paschal Mystery, a theology of Holy Week. So I think Benedict is offering that book really for our spiritual meditation on Holy Thursday, Good Friday, Holy Saturday, Easter Sunday. If you have the time and you have the patience, I would say bring that book with you through the Holy Week time, and even with the liturgies of Holy Week in mind. I think it's a very helpful way to guide our meditation.
Okay, just to sum up, what lasting contribution do you think this book leads? You know, we've had so many books, obviously, on the figure of Jesus.
You know, my mother saw the book a few weeks ago. I brought it home, and she said, "Well, why another book on Jesus?" And my mother's a good Catholic, a strong believer, loves the Pope, but it's a fair question. You know, there have been, as you say, thousands of books on Jesus. What's new about this one? I think it is that methodological issue I raised earlier, that Pope Benedict is giving us the whole Jesus. The danger is a lot of the different methods will give you one aspect. They'll isolate one dimension. I think he has this great gift, the Church Fathers had it too, of bringing the whole Jesus to bear. The Jesus of history, yes indeed. The Jesus coming out of the Old Testament, yes indeed. The Jesus illumined by the spiritual and theological tradition, all of it. I think that's the great contribution, and I think he will set theology in a different direction with this book.